I want to go off script a little bit this morning and invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. I want to remind you of something that you hopefully already know as a follower of Christ, and that is we have absolutely no reason whatsoever to be worried about this virus. No reason whatsoever to be worried or anxious. And I say that with 100% confidence that that's what Jesus would want us to know. And I know that there are various different emotional responses to the virus and the news reports that are coming out. I know that most of us are on social media, so we're constantly being bombarded with information that can cause us to panic, but we need to remember to keep our sanity. And as Christians, we keep our sanity by not only having good information, but also by studying the scriptures and considering what Jesus has told us. And even if you're not filled with anxiety or worry right now, there may be someone here who is, and we need to pray for them, and we need to encourage one another as Christians not to give in to the panic and the fear that is going on in our country and throughout the world right now. And we are called upon by Christ to do that. I want you to look at Matthew chapter 6 in verse 25. Let's stand as we read the scriptures. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. This is God's word. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are living in frightening times, and we pray that you would help us not to give in to the spirit of the age, not to be overcome by anxiety and worry, but help us to take to heart the simple words of Jesus and believe that our Heavenly Father loves us and cares for us, and we have no need to fear. Lord, so often in our lives it's a question of what are we going to believe? Are we going to believe the fear of man and the reports that tell us to be anxious? And are we going to believe your word and walk by faith and not by sight? You tell us, Lord, in your word not to be anxious for anything, but in everything with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, to make our requests known to you. And you, the God of peace, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus and give us a peace that passes all understanding, a peace that the unbeliever cannot understand, a peace that the men and women of this world and this age cannot understand. We pray, Lord, that we would avail ourselves of the peace that is ours in Christ and not fret. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please be seated? There are a lot of things on the news that can worry us. There's no question about that. Our president has declared a national emergency. The governors of several states, many states, have declared statewide emergencies. We have the fact that this virus has been declared a pandemic. And it's not just the disease itself. I mean, you look at the statistics and you see how deadly it is, and you see the percentages, and you can kind of rationalize yourself out of being afraid just by looking at the statistics and comparing it to other diseases. But it's also, what are people going to do? And you see the insanity of some people and the way they're behaving in terms of stocking up and acting like it's Armageddon. Well, some of us can remember Y2K, and we remember all that that came to, and we can remember other pandemics and what came of them. And you compare the statistics, and sometimes you're left wondering. Now, of course, we should be responsible during this time. We don't want to dismiss the seriousness of this disease. We want to wash our hands, and we've talked about all the precautions that we can take to try to prevent the spread of the disease and not have a scenario like we've seen in Italy or China. However, as Christian people, as those who believe in Jesus and love Jesus and follow Jesus, we are not supposed to be people who are dominated by fear. And it seems like when you look at the way Christians even are responding, whether it's on the social media, it seems like we are so afraid, we are so dominated by fear, and that's governing the things that we say and the decisions that we make. But the reality is, Jesus says, don't be anxious. Jesus says, do not worry. Jesus says, cast your fears on the Lord. And that's the simple teaching of this passage. Jesus lived in a day and age where people were much more likely to die from a disease, where people were often worried about their next meal. I mean, remember when Jesus gave the Lord's Prayer, he said, told them to pray for their daily bread. I mean, that was literal for them. They wanted their bread for that day to live on. People who were worried about clothing, worried about what they were going to eat, worried about where their next meal would come from. And we are not that much different, just the circumstances have changed. We still worry about the same thing. I know that I've opened up my portfolio and seen that Roth IRA missing about $1,000. And I'm like, man, that's really frustrating and worrisome. And of course, you see the stock market and how much it's dipped. And you worry about your livelihood and your retirement and things like that. Of course, we worry about disease and the possibility that we might get this. Of course, young people tend to rationalize and they say, well, I'll be fine given the statistics if I'm healthy. And of course, elderly people are more vulnerable and sometimes more concerned about it. But there are fears and anxieties that are going around because of what's going on in our country and what's going on in the world. But Jesus says, do not be anxious. Don't worry. Now think about this. That means that it's a sin to be worried. It's a sin to allow anxiety to dominate your life. You say, how can you say that? Because Jesus commands you in verse 25, do not be anxious. And Jesus commands you, and he commands me, do not be anxious, down there later on in the passage. And if Jesus commands you to do something, and you don't do it, the fancy theological word for that is sin. But so often we don't think about anxiety and worry as sin. I mean, just think about how carelessly we would say to another believer, I'm worried. I'm anxious about this. I'm really, really worried about this. But we wouldn't say, I'm really lustful. I'm really greedy today. Just as carelessly, we might say that, but we would, you know, think about it more before we said it. But we just throw that out there because we don't really think of it as a sin. But God tells us that we can trust Him, that we can rely on Him, that we don't need to be afraid. Do not be anxious about your life. Don't be anxious about what you eat, what you drink, about your body, what you put on. And Jesus says, don't do it. Just don't give in to it. Now, yes, there are feelings of anxiety that come upon us. Isn't it weird how it just kind of overcomes you at times? You know, you don't even see it coming, right? You're not really worried, and then all of a sudden you start thinking, well, I was looking at the sources that said there were 30 cases in Georgia, was that Monday? And then after that, I saw that there were 60, and I was like, 60 cases, it's already doubled. And we might find out at noon today that there are 200 cases in Georgia, and all of a sudden, you're just giving way to the fears and the anxiety. And you see the stock market and all of that, and you start dwelling on it, and you start becoming afraid. But Jesus says, don't be anxious. This is good news. It's a command, but it's good news. It means we don't have to be worried about it. We can trust our Heavenly Father. Look what He says here. He says, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Now think about how the people of Jesus' day could have said something like, we've got to eat to live and we can't walk around naked. I mean, how insensitive are you to say, isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? We've got to have these things to live and carry on in society. This isn't very practical, Jesus. You're not really focused on our everyday life. But what Jesus is saying is there's more to life than the things we tend to worry about. Yes, food sustains life. We need clothing to carry on in the world. But there's more to life than that. Life is about more than that. And yet so many people are afraid when they feel like their personal safety and comfort and conveniences are being threatened. And of course, Jesus says, you don't need to be afraid because God cares for you. And He points out this by giving an illustration from the realm of creation. He says in verse 26, look at the birds of the air. You imagine people who are afraid where their next meal is going to come from, and Jesus says, look at the birds. I mean, it almost sounds like something a hippie would say, right? I mean, I know that's an anachronism, but still, I mean, it seems like a strange thing to say. But Jesus has a robust understanding of creation, and that God has revealed Himself in the things that He's made, and God reveals Himself in the way that He governs the world. And there are lessons about God's goodness in the created order. And Jesus says, just look at the birds. The birds don't sow or reap. The birds don't go to work and punch a time card. The birds don't prepare their meals. They are provided for by the Father who is in heaven. The Father feeds them. That's where they get those berries. That's where they get those worms. After all that rain we had, I was looking outside my window in just this muddy mess in my driveway. And these birds were just having a field day getting all these worms. I mean, there were probably 20 birds in my easement there, and they were just attacking these worms. The Father was feeding them. The Father was providing for them. And He says, using the logic of heaven, are you not of more value than they? If God provides for the birds, if God gives them something to eat, you are made in the image of God. And if you are a believer in Jesus, you are a child of God. You're a child of the King. We sing that hymn, don't we? A child of the King, a child of the King. And that is a guarantee that God will provide for us. And so He's trying to get us to think about looking at creation and saying, the way God cares for the birds, He's going to care for us. We can trust Him. Our Father is good, and He's wise, and He's sovereign, and He has all the hairs on our head numbered, and He has every day in His book numbered. You can't die too soon. It's all written in the book beforehand. That's what the Bible says. You can't die too soon. It's all governed. All our days are written in God's book before we live any one of them. And so we need not worry. And besides that, look what He says in verse 27. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? What is He saying? What good is worry going to do for you? I once heard someone say, worry is like a rocking in a rocking chair. It will give you something to do, but it won't get you anywhere. And that's what Jesus is saying. You're not going to advance your life by being worried. In fact, we know through studies of health and science that actually worry and anxiety can actually diminish your life. Isn't that funny? Funny, strange. But worrying does not advance your life. Worrying is not going to do any good. Panic and fear and giving in to that emotion of, oh no, what's going to happen? I've got to go stock up on toilet paper. What good is that going to do? It's going to do nothing. And what it's going to do is make the problem worse. Just like anxiety makes your health worse, and just like buying all the toilet paper makes it worse. Especially in a couple of weeks when we all run out. But don't worry about that. But the reality is that it's not going to do us any good. It doesn't advance our life. And he says, "What?" And then he goes from food to clothing. He says, why are you anxious about clothing? Why are you worried? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. God clothes the lilies of the field. Look at the beautiful creation and the way God adorns it. I mean, I noticed the azaleas are blooming now. I mean, and as we enter spring, we're going to see all of these beautiful flowers, aren't we? And that is a reminder of the way God clothes the natural realm, the way God ordains and provides for it, just the beautiful things that we see. And it is a reminder that if he clothes the lilies of the field, if God clothes the grass of the field, it says, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, will he not much more clothe you of you a little faith? What are you worried about? Look at the birds and look at the lilies. That's what Jesus says. Don't look at, you know, don't get be so focused on Facebook or Twitter or Fox News or CNN or whatever it is. Look at the lilies. Look at the birds of the heavens and believe Jesus and trust in him. Yes, that doesn't mean, of course, this doesn't mean they were walking around naked saying, I wonder when God's going to clothe me. And it doesn't mean they were walking around saying, well, I open my mouth and God will feed me. They recognized they had to work. And they had to do certain things that God uses as ordinary means of providence to provide for them. And so similarly, we shouldn't be just running around carelessly without responsibility, coughing on people and hugging people and not taking necessary precautions. God uses means, but we're talking about the state of our hearts. Jesus cares about the state of your heart. He doesn't want it to be tossed to and fro. He doesn't want your heart to be rising and swelling with panic and anxiety. He wants you to look to him and to trust your heavenly Father. God feeds the birds of the air. God clothes the lilies of the field. Don't worry. But notice also what he says here. He reminds us that when we worry, we're behaving like unbelievers. Notice what he says here. Therefore, do not be anxious, this is verse 31, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things. Who are the Gentiles? The Gentiles are the non-Jews, but in Jesus' context there, all of his followers are Jewish, Jesus is Jewish. He's talking about the unbelievers, the heathen. He's saying, those people who don't know God, they're focused on these things. They're always thinking, how can we make more money so that we eat well? And how can we make more money so that we dress well? And we have a nice home and all of these things. That's what unbelievers are obsessed with. That's what they're always thinking about. Why is there so much pandemonium in our world right now? Well, because this virus has attacked two of America's greatest idols, our health and our money. I mean, both of those are being assaulted by this virus, right? The stock market, look at it. I mean, that's assaulting our idolatry of money. And then also the health. I mean, look at all of the advertisements, all about staying young and staying healthy. And of course, like any idol, there's a place for health and there is a place for using money for good. But the idolatry is the love of money, and it is the obsession with health and trying to create a utopia on this earth and perpetuate your life when you're going to die eventually. You are going to die, yeah. But you need not fear, because the Gentiles seek after all these things because they are worldly people. They are thinking just about this life. They have no eternal perspective. They are seeking out the things that gratify self. But your Father knows you need these things. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 84:11, the Lord is a sun and a shield, and no good thing does He withhold from those who walk uprightly. If you are walking uprightly, if you are seeking to please the Lord, God doesn't withhold any good thing. You say, well, I don't have this and this and this and this. They aren't good things for you then, if you're walking uprightly. Because God has promised that He will supply those who walk uprightly with every good thing. And sometimes I'll tell you, we think things are good and we think things that we need are not things that we need, and they're not good things for us. You might think about the fact that this virus and this all this fear that's going on might actually be good for our nation. It might be good for the world to realize that we are mortal and that science isn't the savior, and that we need to think about spiritual things. The Lord could use it to wake it up. Of course, people could see all these plagues like we read in the book of Revelation, and it says they still did not repent. That could happen too. Our people could all of a sudden be asking for national prayer. We know that this Sunday was appointed by our president as a national day of prayer. And hopefully every Sunday, by the way, is a national day of prayer. But we have to consider spiritual things. You can't just start praying when things go bad. I mean, think about September 11th and how the churches were filled when that catastrophe hit our nation. And how people all of a sudden became very super religious. It was just a flash in the pan. And so we have to recognize the spiritual dynamics here. The Gentiles seek after all these things, but your Heavenly Father knows that you need them all. The Gentiles don't know your Father who is in heaven. You do. And so that should affect your psychological sanity. That should affect the way that you relate to the tragedies that are going on in this world. And he tells us what our priority should be. What is our priority? Is it to have a great retirement? Is it to make sure we're healthy so that we live as long as we possibly can live? Is it just so that we are comfortable and safe and feel good and obtain maximal pleasure for our life? No. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Our priorities should be totally different from the world. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. What did Luther say when he wrote that hymn? Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also, the body they may kill, God's truth abideth still, His kingdom is forever. Our perspective is not on this life and getting as much as we can and making everything comfortable for us now, but it's seeking first the kingdom of God. That our priority is the rule and reign of God in our hearts, in our homes, in our church, in our community, and in this nation. And by the way, as long as this nation is sanctioning the murder of the unborn, God is not listening to the prayers of this nation. Because God says the prayers of those who turn away from hearing His law are as an abomination to Him. And so if you want God to listen to your prayers, repent of murdering the babies. Repent of solemnizing sodomy. And honor God and cry out to Him in sincerity and truth. Our nation wants to pray when we get in trouble. It wants to pray and pretend to be religious. It stinks to high heaven to God, and He hates it. He hates the American civil religion pretending like you're spiritual, pretending like you believe in God when you're murdering children in the womb and when you're sanctifying things God calls an abomination. He hates it. It's a stench in His nostrils. And the wrath of God is going to be poured out on this nation unless we repent. And so we can try to get spiritual and religious just for a little moment and go in our prayer closets and try to pretend like we're having a national day of prayer, like we're a big religious nation. We are a wicked nation. We are an ungodly nation, and God would be perfectly justified to pull back his restraining grace and allow all the viruses come out of hell and come all over this nation for our wickedness. And you think the people who are vulnerable or the people who are susceptible to this virus, what about the babies who are having their brains sucked out in the womb? Those are the people who are vulnerable in our society. Are our children and our grandchildren who are being taught that a man can be a woman and a woman can be a man? Or that men and men can engage in unnatural, ungodly, wicked desires and even sanctify that relationship, calling it with the holy name of marriage? If we think that we can call on God and continue to sin with such a high hand when this nation has been given more light than any other nation, including Israel, in the history of the world, and we can continue to do that, and we think that God's going to listen to us, you got another thing coming. Because the psalmist says, if I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. You can't go headlong into sin and go headlong into lawbreaking, and go headlong into disobeying God, and then expect him to want to listen to your prayers. He's going to turn the phone ringer on silent, and he's not going to listen. And he told Israel that, and he's told nations that from the very beginning, and yet we continue to say, well, the thoughts and prayers of Americans are so valuable. No, the only prayers that are valuable to God are the prayers of his children. And the only people who are children of God are those who have repented of their sins and placed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone else, according to the Bible, is a child of Satan. And God doesn't listen to the children of Satan unless they're calling out for redemption. We need to wake up, and we need to remember that every single temporal providential judgment from God is a summons to everybody to repent. Everybody to repent, everybody to seek the kingdom of God, to seek his righteousness, knowing these things will be added to you. Where are our priorities? Are our priorities on the worship of God? Are our priorities on growing in godliness and holiness? Are our priorities on advancing the missionary purpose of God and fulfilling the Great Commission, giving to the poor and needy, demonstrating love and kindness to those who are lost, proclaiming the word of truth even when it offends? Are our priorities on the kingdom of God, or is it on our own safety, comfort, and convenience and keeping those people away who are diseased? Where's our priority? Seek first, he says, the kingdom of God. If you don't have kingdom priorities, you're not going to have kingdom benefits. Because this is connected to anxiety. Seeking first the kingdom liberates you from anxiety, because you're not worried about those things. Your ultimate concern is not food and clothing and health. Your ultimate concern is the kingdom of God. And guess what? I can glorify God with the coronavirus or without it. I can glorify God in prison or not out of prison. I can glorify God being here or not here. That's the goal, to glorify God. And as we pray in the Lord's Prayer, for his kingdom to come and for his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. What do we really want? What do we really want? You know, a sad thing, sad state of the church, is how many more Christians will pray about the coronavirus than lost people who are dying and going to hell. And you know what's even sadder? How many Christians will spread the coronavirus and not spread the gospel? We need to wake up and realize what our priorities are really supposed to be. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And why does Jesus say this to us? Because he loves us, and he cares for us, and he doesn't want us to behave with the psychological insanity and the pandemonium of the world. So he says, don't be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Translation? Take one day at a time. How many cases are going to be in Georgia tomorrow? How many dead people are going to be tomorrow? What's going to happen next week? What's the bell curve going to do? Chill out. Trust God. Believe the gospel. Jesus rose again. Death doesn't win. Disease doesn't win. We can rejoice in the hope of the gospel. If our faith in Jesus doesn't make a difference in times like these, what good is it? If our faith in Jesus and following Jesus doesn't make a practical difference in the way that we relate to things like coronavirus, what good is it? If we're spazzing about toilet paper and we're spazzing about everything that's going on, and yet we don't have the peace that passes all understanding, what good is that? Faith without works is dead. And you know, one of the fruits of a healthy, lively faith in the Lord Jesus is all is well. Jesus was sleeping on a cushion in the bottom of a boat on the storm-tossed Sea of Galilee, and his disciples woke him up. Don't you care that we're perishing? Funny question to ask the one who came to save the world from perishing in sin. And Jesus said, "Peace, be still." All is well with the Trinity this morning. All is well with the Trinity tomorrow. All is well with the Trinity forever. God is not wringing his hands saying, "I wonder what this virus is going to do. I wonder how people are going to respond. Oh, I hope this doesn't happen. I hope this doesn't happen. I hope the stock market doesn't crash again." Oh, that's not God. He's enthroned in the heavens, the Bible says, and his kingdom stretches over all. Do you believe that? He's enthroned in the heavens, and his kingdom stretches over all. And this one who sent his son to this earth to live and die and rise again for us and accomplish everlasting salvation is telling us, don't be afraid. The true thing we need to fear is the wrath of God. The wrath of God that we deserve for our sin. But if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you need not fear the wrath of God, because Jesus hung on the cross and he extinguished the wrath of God by his substitutionary atonement for all of his sheep. And if that storm, if that virus, if that disease, if that problem has passed, we should be fearless and we should be bold and we should be delivered from anxiety. I was talking to a member earlier last week, and we were talking about that first question of the shorter catechism. What is man's chief end? Man's chief end is to what? Glorify God and enjoy him forever. Guess what? You can do that with arthritis. You can do that with cancer. You can do that when you're healthy. You can do that when you lose your job. You can do that when you get coronavirus. You can do that when you get better. You can do it when you die, if you're in Christ. If you keep your focus on what the purpose of your life is, to glorify God and enjoy him forever, that is the purpose of my life, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, What do you have to fear? What do you have to fear? Paul says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." So certainly, let us be responsible people. Christians are responsible people. Let's wash our hands. Let's practice social distancing. Let's listen to the authorities and what they say about what is wise in terms of how we care for the health of those in our community. But let's not lose our minds. Let's not lose our sanity. Let's not make the problem worse by allowing fear to be Lord rather than Jesus. Because fear is a bad taskmaster. Jesus is a liberating king. Let's pray. Oh, Father, this is such a truth that we know in our heads, but does it always sink down into our hearts? We know we're not supposed to worry. We know that we're supposed to be free from anxiety. We know that we're supposed to cast all our cares on you, for you care for us. And yet, Lord, sometimes it just feels like it overcomes us and swells over us. But Lord, help us to have that peace that passes all understanding, and help other people in our culture to see that Christians respond differently to crisis. That we are a people who seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. That we are a people who call others to your kingdom and call others to your righteousness. that we have gospel priorities, and that we recognize that there is absolutely no reason in the world to be anxious. That's what the Gentiles do who don't know you. But we know a different way. May we model that different way to a watching world. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for numbering all the hairs on our head. Thank you for writing all our days in your book. And thank you for promising that all things work together for good for those who love you and are called according to your purpose. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.